Good morning. With KUAC News, I'm Robin.
Alaska State Parks have reopened the Granite Tours Trail and Campground at mile 39 of China Hot Springs Road after the Nugget Creek fire backed away from the area. The Nugget Creek Public Use Cabin and the Mastodon Trail leading to it remain closed, as does the River Access Road at mile 37.7. Located in the China River State Recreation Area, the Nugget Creek fire was started by lightning on June 21st, and it's burning south of China Hot Springs Road between mileposts 29 and 40. The fire has burned up to the edge of the China River in several places and continues to creep slowly into the 2013 Stewart Creek fire scar on the west and the Rock Creek fire scar from 2000 on the east. The fire burned up to the edge of the Nugget Creek Public Use Cabin, which is located within the perimeter of the fire on the east bank of the South Fork of the China River. The cabin remains intact, though, with pumps, hose, and sprinklers in place for continued structure protection if needed. Meanwhile, there are four fires burning near the village of Chalkitsik. There are places where distinct fires have burned together, and there are pockets of fire in the areas in between, so the Alaska Fire Service calls that a complex. Yesterday, crews focused on burning out the areas near the southwest corner of the complex to protect the village of Chalkitsik. Heavy smoke from the complex is also affecting the village. A climate change plan is the main focus of a new volunteer group that will form this fall. Last night, the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly approved a resolution to establish a task force that will put together a plan to deal with the impacts of climate change on the borough. The Assembly voted 8-1 to adopt the resolution after more than 3 hours of testimony. All but a handful of the nearly 50 people who spoke during the public hearing on the measure asked for approval.
This summer has been incredibly smoky. I'm sure we all know that.
Rick Toman is a climate specialist with the Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy, who supports the measure.
This is the fifth time since 2004 we've had more than 3 weeks of wildfire smoke. Prior to 2004, the preceding half century, that happened once.
Matthew Storm is a geophysicist who worked with the Fort Wainwright Cold Regions Lab. He says the warming climate is accelerating and damaging infrastructure at a faster pace. He cited thawing permafrost that's sunk in several stretches of Goldstream Road and required it to be rebuilt.
And the road needs to be rebuilt again right now. There's some axle breakers already on it. Deep thermokarst pits form in a matter of weeks.
He says permafrost thaw also threatens portions of the Dalton Highway, the lifeline to North Slope oil fields.
I have to drive it several times a year for work, and it too is falling apart at an alarming rate.
Esau Sinnock is a UAF student who was born and raised in Shishmaref, a coastal village on the Seward Peninsula that's collapsing into the Chukchi Sea because of erosion caused by the lack of sea ice to protect the shoreline. So he says residents of the village are preparing to move inland again.
If you can just imagine having your entire home relocate from where you grew up.
Those testifying against the resolution cited the costs. Even a volunteer group will require attention of borough staff. Tara Zuger said it's another example of government overreach, like the borough's efforts to improve air quality.
Residents sent a pretty clear message when they voted powers away from the borough to regulate wood stoves. People don't trust this assembly.
Assemblymember Aaron Lajewski cited some of those arguments before voting against the resolution. He said the borough should respond to specific problems rather than appoint a task force to craft a broad climate change response plan in an attempt to ease the impacts of warming on the area, which he doubts will be as bad as the testimony suggests.
I almost feel like I'm hearing Chicken Little scream a little bit. The sky's falling.
But Leah Berman-Williams said the borough could tap into the world-class experts at UAF and other local organizations to help the task force come up with a climate plan. She said that would enable the borough to respond to the impacts of warming using such tools as land use planning.
That is, of course, exactly the point of developing a climate action plan for the borough to address specific areas.
Presiding Officer Matt Cooper said the resolution taps into community expertise to respond to climate change impacts.
The purpose of this, as I understand it, is to figure out how we as a borough plan for the effects and deal with those effects. And I think that that's just a matter of prudent community planning.
The resolution calls for the task force to hold its first meeting by November 15th. DEC officials report comments are steadily coming into the Air Quality Division ahead of today's 5 p.m. deadline. As you've heard on KUAC, the state's implementation plan was drafted and released for public comment in May. Cindy Heil is the program manager with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation's Air Quality Division.
She says about 75 comments have been received so far.
We haven't received any fax comments, but we've received comments electronically. We've received comments at the hearings. We've received written comments that were mailed. And we've received email comments that come in through dec.air.com@alaska.gov.
The state filed its first Air Quality State Implementation Plan, or SIP, in 1972 to comply with the then brand new Clean Air Act. The current draft for the Fairbanks and North Pole non-attainment area is one chapter of the overall state plan and addresses local wintertime fine particulate pollution and the health damage it causes. Heil said she's still expecting letters from some major stakeholders before today's 5 p.m. deadline, especially from point source entities, the electric power generators like Golden Valley Electric Association and Fort Wainwright's power plant. Heil says comments from the public help shape the plan. She says comments so far have come in all over the spectrum.
Yes, we have some that are very supportive and want us to keep everything. There are some that say we still haven't done enough. Others that say we've gone way too far. We shouldn't be doing any of this. Toward some that have suggested some tweaks and modifications to alternatives, all over the spectrum.
After today, the Air Quality Division reviews all the data and comments and may write new pollution regulations or control measures for wood stoves or fuel burners. Heil says the division will post the formal response on the website sometime this fall. The target to submit the serious state implementation plan is before the end of 2019. The public comment deadline on the draft SIP is today at 5 p.m. The Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater's production of Macbeth on the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus wraps up this weekend. The play's run was shortened after heavy smoke the first weekend prompted the company to close the outdoor venue. But as KUAC's Robert Hannon reports, superstition, not smoke, may have played a part in the production's bad luck.
Shakespeare scholar Janice Lull says Macbeth shares something with Harry Potter's arch nemesis, Lord Voldemort. Both have names that cause the faint-hearted to cringe when spoken aloud.
The core superstition about Macbeth is that you should not do what I just did, which is say that word in a theater.
Lull says bad luck is believed to descend on the production if a thoughtless actor utters the Scottish king's name. She says there are even techniques meant to circumvent the curse.
People rehearsing will refer to Mackers instead of the name of the character. Mackers, you need to move further to the left here, just in case.
Lull serves as dramaturg for the current production of the Scottish play. She says the superstition probably dates from the 18th century London theater scene when other customs arose.
There is one other play, All's Well That Ends Well, which has a similar superstition. The title of it asserts that everything's going to be fine, and there's something suspicious about the idea that everything's going to be fine.
Director Rebecca George says originally she wasn't going to raise the issue of the curse with cast members.
I had decided to just let it be and let people have their own beliefs about it, and that was all good and well until I lost my voice. For about 10 days. And then I thought maybe I took this curse too lightly.
While she still takes the curse with a large grain of salt, she wasn't above getting pointers from Janice Lull on how to nullify its effects.
My favorite one that she had found was every time you say the title character's name in the theater, then you counteract it by saying a line from A Midsummer Night's Dream.
And despite having to cancel the play's first weekend, George is confident this closing run of the play that shall not be named will be a success. In Fairbanks, I'm Robert Hannon.
And I'm Robin.